Speaking of events, a big one coming up in 9 days from now on May 23rd. It's the annual CTI, Community Teamwork Spring Gala, this year's event dedicated to ending youth homelessness, and they're numbering an awful lot of key contributors in that battle. Last week, we talked to Karen Frederick from CTI and also talked to Senator Ed Kennedy and Lowell Mayor Bill Samaras. They are two of the honorees. Another one of the honorees is joining us in studios this morning. I'm going to introduce him in a quick second, but I do want to take a moment to introduce Bernadette Wheeler, who is also joining us here in the Lowell Spinner Studios. Bernadette is a board member and has been for 6 years now at CTI. Good morning, Bernadette. How are you?
Good morning, Teddy. I'm great.
Good to have you back here in studios. You drew the short straw again from the board, right? And they keep sending you in instead of somebody else. How did you get involved?
I don't say no often.
No, very few of the volunteer folks ever do here. We're very fortunate in this area to have a lot of good folks helping to tackle the many issues we have. What drew you to CTI? How did you become involved and ultimately become a board member?
Well, I've been involved with Community Teamwork for about 10 years now. I started off as a client. I went through a rough time, myself and my children, after a divorce. And CTI was there. We had numerous services through Community Teamwork, the WIC program, Head Start. Two of my children went through the Head Start program. And from there, I just began volunteering and was able to get a position on the board, and it's been wonderful. And, you know, you come so close at a point where I could have been homeless myself, myself and the kids, but we were lucky that we had family that was able to take us in and give us a place to live, but not everyone is that lucky.
No, they're not, and many people are homeless, including a really sad number of youth here in our communities in the greater Lowell area and beyond. And joining us here in studios to talk a little bit about that is Eric Cousineau, who is with DCF, Department of Children and Families. Good morning, Eric. How are you?
Good morning. How are you?
I'm fantastic. Good to have you here. First of all, you deserve battle pay because I just found out that you are a next-door neighbor to Guillermo Pena. I don't know how you didn't put the house on the market the moment he moved into the neighborhood.
We did think about it, but you know, he's come to grow on you a little bit.
So. And he's also somebody who does an awful lot of work helping support some of these organizations. Tell me a little bit about your work at DCF and how that dovetails with CTI and this mission to end youth homelessness, please.
Yeah, I've been a social worker with Lowell DCF for about 25 years now. I started there as an adolescent outreach worker, and we were fortunate, I would say now 16 years ago, we had a wonderful nun came into through our front door of DCF down on Merrimack Street. We've since moved to Chelmsford, but and asked us, we said, we have a 32-bedroom house. You guys need help with housing. And we were just kind of blown away because that doesn't happen very often where someone comes to you with a solution to the problem. And so we kind of sat down and started striking up a conversation about it. And, you know, essentially we tried it out as like a dorm for kind of the older youth involved with the department. And we've been there now 15 years and served about 180 girls.
And as we found out last week in our discussion with Karen and Senator Kennedy and Mayor Samaras, it is what is known as the Blanchard House.
Bashand.
I apologize. Yeah. That nice big house that I've drove by a million times across the street from the old St. Joe's Hospital where I was born and now University Crossing. And I never knew that for so long so much good has been done.
Yeah. I was a student at UMass Lowell. I never knew what that building was. You walk by it 1,000 times and then... Yeah, no, it's an amazing space with 32 bedrooms. They got an in-ground pool in the backyard. The story with that is when St. Joe's used to be there, the nuns used to staff the emergency room, and the physicians paid to have the pool put in for the nuns to have a place to relax. And so, nice pool in the backyard.
And this nun that you mentioned who approached you and said, "Hey, I've got some beds for you. I've got a place for some young folks to live," is...
Sister Pauline LeBlanc.
All right. And she is also one of the honorees with you this year?
She's part of the sisters, but the one that works with me is my right-hand man or woman, I would say, is Sister Cecile Cloutier. And she's the one that's kind of in charge of the program with the girls.
And we were thinking about having her come up here, and then we looked at those steep steps, and we thought probably better uses of her time than, you know, risking her life climbing the stairs here. Right?
She's a young 86.
But she's going to be there at the gala and honored along with you. First of all, congratulations. Let's talk a little bit about the need. So you mentioned you've been doing this for 16 years now.
Yep.
talk a little bit about how this issue and how the need has evolved. Are we in a better place today or a worse place than we were when you first got involved?
Oh, we're definitely in a better place. I mean, for one, the department has come a long way, made a lot of strides in sticking with trying to prevent homelessness for the kids involved with foster care. So when their custody status ends at 18, the department offers them all a voluntary placement agreement with DCF, which allows them to stay in open case with us for another 4 years to 22, which allows them to kind of attend college, get jobs, find apartments. So we're working to prevent kids from just going out at 18 and say, oh, good luck, because how many kids nowadays could do that? I think of my own kids at home. I wouldn't just toss my kids at 18. So the department's done a good job of preventing that. We also work with these youth to help them find some kind of connection in their lives, whether it's an aunt or an uncle or a grandmother or maybe a teacher or a coach. And having Bosch on Hall, it's amazing because it gives these kind of older kids, so many kids, if they grow up in foster care, like, I'm going to get my own apartment. I want to go out and get on my own. But they're not realistic about what apartments cost, not having credit, how much upfront money. Bosch on Hall gives these youth the freedom, because we've modeled it very much like a college dorm. Gives them a lot of freedom. They can come and go as they please. But it's safe, it's supportive, and it's affordable for them. It gives them that kind of leg up.
And as we talked about in the past, no one's going to rent an apartment to an 18-year-old. Forget the credit checks and the financial aspects. Certain people, unless you are of adult age, you're not getting
right
to sign onto a lease. So you have the ability to house 32?
No. So the Bosch on Hall is still an active convent. So there's still three sisters that live there. So the left side of the house, if you're looking at the property, is set aside for the sisters, and the right side. So we have rooms for 14 girls.
For 14 girls.
We have 11 currently there now.
Okay. How many would you say have come through there through the years?
I think we're over 180 now.
Wow. It's amazing.
And we have all the different lengths of time. The nice thing about Bosch on Hall is when the say a girl in foster care goes off to college and then the dorms close at Christmas time or the dorms close over the summer, many times they can't return to the foster home because that foster parent has taken on another youth. Girls can come and stay at Bosch on Hall for that month during Christmas break. They can come for the summer and stay there. So we have a lot of short-term girls, and we've had girls have stayed, 3 to 4 years. So it just depends on the need or what they want. We've had girls leave to try to get an apartment and come back because they couldn't afford it out there. Oh, I have to pay for my laundry and all these utilities are. It's an amazing space. And the sisters are, I can't say enough about them. They are amazing.
Doing this for as long as you have been, I'm sure there's some great success stories. Do you keep in contact with many of the folks who've come through your hands there?
We do. And a lot of them come back and visit the sisters. Some have kids now and bring them to visit the girls. A lot of them stay in touch with me. We have some nurses. We have some kids that have joined the military. We don't have success with everyone. That's going to happen. Some kids just maybe aren't ready for that. But because as a convent, we can't have – there's certain restrictions these girls can't have their boyfriends over in their room, and they can't bring any drugs and alcohol in the building. So it is a nice, safe place, but some kids did struggle with some of the rules. But, yeah, we've had some amazing success stories.
What's fascinating is I just figured this was a model that was in place all throughout the state, if not the entire country. During the news break when we were just kind of talking, you told me, so there aren't a lot of these, and that Lowell is very fortunate to have a community and the Sisters of Ottawa who made this available, because these don't exist ever. This model isn't in a Worcester or in a Boston even, right?
No, and I think that's one of the frustrations I have with this job. It's a wonderful, the sisters are wonderful. I would say probably 10 or 12 years ago, the sisters and I went to a statewide conference of a lot of different orders of nuns to talk about the project, talk about how we did it, talk about the wonderful successes, just to see if there was interest, and there really wasn't at a statewide level. So I'm fortunate to work in the Lowell DCF office and live and work in a community that is so supportive of these type of partnerships. We have a second partnership with another group in Lowell where we have an apartment program for young men in foster care. So it's just been I can't say enough about Lowell, but it is a frustration. Sister gets upset that why are we the only ones doing this? And it's a very surreal experience when you're going around looking at for sale signs on churches and convents. It's very odd. So when you're looking for space or looking at other places, it would have been nice to see something besides Lowell.
We're very fortunate here in the area to have the Sisters of Ottawa and to have you, Eric. It's 8:24 here on 980 WCAP. Eric Cousineau from DCF is joining us here in studios. He is one of the honorees at this year's Leading the Way Home celebration. The CTI Spring Gala takes place Thursday, May 23rd, 5:30 to 8:30 p.m. at the James Hoularis Early Learning Center on Phoenix Avenue in Lowell. Bernadette Wheeler is here as well in our Lowell Spinner Studios, a board member of CTI. So how many people do you expect at this year's gala?
We're expecting over 300 people this year. Yeah, I think we're going to have a really big turnout. We're already selling a lot of tickets. We have some great sponsors for the program, and it's going to be really good.
There's still tickets remaining?
Yep. Oh, yeah, there's still tickets remaining. We still have sponsorships available.
What are some of the levels that folks can sponsor at?
We have individual sponsors that are less than 1,000. We have bronze at 1,000, silver 2,500, gold for 5,000, premium at 10, and the primary sponsors up at $20,000.
And then the individual tickets, and can people purchase a table?
Yep, people can purchase a table of 10. You can also buy individual tickets, are $100 a piece, $175 for a pair. You can buy a table for 1,000.
Tell me a little bit about what the night will entail. What's the program like? Besides, we're going to get to honor Eric and get to meet him in person
and see
his face instead of just hearing his voice.
We're very excited to be able to recognize local leaders who have been working so hard to help to end youth homelessness. And we have a great evening plan. Connie Martin is working on this event. And you know Connie, she's a hoot. She always has great ideas, and we have a lot of fun things planned. But we'll have cocktails. There'll be heavy hors d'oeuvres. We'll have raffles, the award presentation, and then a seated dessert. It's going to be really nice.
And Connie was actually with us last week. I think I said that Karen Frederick was here. It wasn't Karen. It was Connie Martin. My memory has failed me. How do folks purchase tickets or take advantage of one of the sponsorship opportunities?
You can go online at comteam.org/special events, or you can call 978-654-5766. And I want to mention, actually, if I can, some of our raffles that we will have that evening.
Yeah, let's find out what some of the prizes are.
Well, our youth build team is back again this year, their construction team, and they're making Adirondack chairs, which are always a great hit. Beautiful construction, really comfortable chairs. They'll also have, we'll have cornhole boards up for raffle, where whoever wins them can decide what they want painted on them. We're going to have a big basket of restaurant certificates from the local area, and I believe we might even have a WCAP spot included in that basket. We will have a giant wine basket. And when I say basket, it's not a wicker basket. When Connie does a wine basket, it's a crate, you know, a really big basket of wine. And our biggest item of the evening is going to be a dinner for eight in your home. Anna Jabba of La Boniche fame will come out with some students from the Youth Build Culinary Team. And they'll also be catering the event as well. But so this item, a dinner for eight at your home, they'll make a plan with whoever wins it to decide on the menu, and there'll be hors d'oeuvres, a dinner, dessert, a really special item.
All right. One more time, how do people purchase their tickets to the event and learn more about it?
Give a call, 978-654-5766, or go to the website at comteam.org/special events, and you can also get tickets at www.mktix.com/ctw.
Bernadette Wheeler, board member from CTI Community Teamwork, thank you for joining us this morning, and good luck with the Spring Gala. Again, it takes place on Thursday, May 23rd, 5:30 to 8:30 p.m. at the James Hularis Early Learning Center on Phoenix Avenue. It's the annual spring celebration, Leading the Way Home, this year honoring local leaders who are working to end youth homelessness. Those local leaders include Lowell Mayor Bill Samaras, State Senator and former Mayor Ed Kennedy, Jay Linehan, President and CEO of the Greater Lowell Community Foundation, who we will actually chat with next Tuesday, find out more about his organization and their focus this year on the Lowell youth homeless issue. We'll also be honoring the Sisters of Charity of Ottawa, and we'll be honoring Eric Cousineau, who's joining us here in studios this morning as well. Eric, congratulations again on the honor, and thank you for your work in helping make our community a better place and to have something we can brag about that other communities don't.
Right. Thank you very much.